Today I'm going to be talking about the benefits of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did we get out of it? Isaiah 53, I'm going to read from verse 1. This was the prophecy of Christ before he came and he died and rose again. It says in verse 1, he says, "Who had believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" So Isaiah the prophet is saying here, who had believed our report? So it was essential to believe the report before you can see the arm of the Lord revealed to you. God doesn't work for us without our faith. And somebody says, "Oh, if it has to do with my faith, I've lost it then." No, don't give it up so quickly, because you need to understand that faith has two things to it. First is that you have to hear it. Okay? Now, and faith travels through the vehicle of knowledge. Where the knowledge of the will of God is present, then faith can be present. If you know the will of God, you will have faith for it. Hallelujah. If you don't know what God's will is and who he is, you can't have faith. So certain things about God that we need to look at is that the fact that God is faithful. God is just. God will never lie. And God does not alter the thing he has said out of his mouth. Amen? So there's a report. When he says it, we receive the report. Amen? We accept it. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." As at the time Isaiah the prophet was prophesying, Jesus had not been born. Nothing about him was known. What I mean by that is that the Word made flesh had not been, he was in existence in the Father. Amen? From the foundation of the world. But the body shape of the man Yeshua was not in existence. Hallelujah. Because he had not been born yet. So he's talking about what he's coming to come and do. Amen? Now, and a lot of the things that the prophet Isaiah was speaking about here has to do with when he was beaten and the things that happened to him spiritually. That is where he talks about the fact that he had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Glory be to God. Talking about the Jews and mankind generally. He is the stone which the builders rejected. The Bible now begins to tell us what he came to do. "Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The word griefs here include things like disease, sicknesses, glory be to God, illnesses, hallelujah, suffering, things that bring sighing. That's why I use the word grief. Amen. "And he carried our sorrows." Glory be to Jesus. This also is suffering, pain that come in through sin or came in through sin. All right, praise the Lord Jesus. Things like that. Affliction. It says, "Smitten of God and afflicted." God was the one who smote him and afflicted him because of these things that he was supposed to pay for. He was paying for our griefs, sicknesses, diseases, our sorrows, pains, and all of that. He bore our loss of wealth. Glory be to God. The Bible says we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. "For though that he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich." Amen. He said, "But he was wounded for our transgressions." Every transgression of man, Jesus was going to pay for. The prophet Isaiah was saying here, so that the guilt that we bore or had before God, the penalty of the fall of Adam will be removed. Amen. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. So he's saying that things that make us ill are sicknesses, diseases, loss of wealth and well-being, all right? Sin, praise the Lord Jesus. Things that cause separation from God because of wrongdoing. Glory be to God. And deeply entrenched sin that has cycles that keeps coming. There are things that have held people down, amen, that need to be gotten rid of. Those kind of things, Jesus paid for every negative thing that came through the fall of Adam. Everything you can think of. We're looking at Jesus. What came out of his death and resurrection? That's what we're looking at. Regardless of where anyone is right now, Jesus paid a price for every negative thing you're experiencing right now. Anybody upon the earth is experiencing. Jesus paid a price. Jesus came so that pain would be dealt with. I hear some young people say stuff like, you know, all the pain. I hear also older people say all the pain. Jesus came that pain should leave your life, you and I's life. Depression ought not to be a part of a Christian's life. Mental health issues ought not to be a part of a Christian's life. Jesus paid a price. The price has already been paid. That's why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. That's why we celebrate all of that. The price has been paid. For the heartbroken, the price has been paid. The lonely, the price has been paid. The sick, the price has been paid. If anybody has suffered the loss of anything, the price has been paid for you to be made whole, for you to live a good life, an excellent life, to be in excellent health. It has been paid for. Jesus paid a price. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 4, I'm going to read from verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things that be not as though they were, things that are not apparent to the senses, God calls them as though they were there, right there. So what is that? When God says, let there be, in fact, in the book of Genesis, where it says that God said, let there be light. Actually, that was not what God said. He said, light be. And light was. Amen. He said to Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. So Abraham did not walk fulfill the law to be righteous. In fact, the law was not in existence at that time. Hallelujah. So what he did to be called righteous was because he believed God. He believed the promise that God made to him. Now, it's like this. I look at you right now and God looks at you and says something like this, that you're going to be the president of the United States in the next say 15 years. As a Christian, you're not supposed to say, it's not possible. Don't talk like that. You're supposed to, even though there's no apparent way of you being that which was spoken, you're supposed to believe that it is, that God who quickens the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were, he is able to perform it. So what you're supposed to do is to go with the flow. You do what comes to you. What is that? You say, what shows that you believe? When you leave, they say, what do presidents do? Do I know enough about this country? What do I know? And being fully persuaded that that which he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was raised for what? Our justification. What is that? He was raised that we might be declared righteous. He was raised that we might be declared the justified ones, the just, that we'll be called the just. When you read through the scriptures, as somebody defined justification, you know, if you commit an offense and you are judged and you're let go of or pardoned, you are not justified. What has happened is that you were forgiven. Hallelujah. When you are justified, it means that they say you are right. How did we become justified? How did the resurrection translate to justification? Okay. Man was guilty. Jesus came as a man, paid the price, the full price, as our substitute. Now, when he went to the cross, we went to the cross with him. When the soldiers were whipping him on the back, we were the ones suffering it because he did it in our stead. Hallelujah. So, everything he suffered everything because of us. Now, he had no sin of his own. Jesus became us. From the time he took on that, became the Lamb of God for the sacrifice, he became us. So he went to the cross, he died, he was buried. Now, because he had no sin of his own, God said, it is far from me to kill an innocent man for the guilty, because I'm a good God. So he said, let him go. But remember, he's already us. When he came out of the ground, God, that he became justified. But we were in him. So we became justified with him. He's the just. He did something for the guilty, but he had already become us. And so now he's justified. And we vicariously, we're also justified. So we're justified. We'll be made righteous. Glory be to God. So one of the first benefits that we have is the fact that we're justified. We have made the just. Anywhere you read in the Bible and it says, the just shall live by faith. He's talking about us. God listens to the prayer of the righteous. He's talking about us. The righteous shall inherit glory. He's talking about us. In the time of the famine, the righteous shall feed fat. He's talking about me. He's talking about you. How did you become righteous? You were justified through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. is irreversible now. Just go with the flow. Yeah. It's mine. What did you pay for it? Nothing. I just believed. Oh, glory. God made it so cheap. All you need to do is believe. Accept it. I like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He's now saying something to us. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Talking about homosexuals, the effeminate is a cross-dresser or a man who likes to act like a woman. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, cursers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are what? Washed. But ye are what? Sanctified. But ye are what? Justified. That's that word again. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God, we're justified. We're no longer who we used to be. We're new creatures now. Hallelujah. Justified. So I'm justified. Now, let me say this. Sometimes people will look at the enemy puts people in places where he conditions something to happen that is contrary to the word of God, does not change who you are. So when the enemy comes and tries to make you look like the unjustified, the unrighteous, there's a delete button to overrule. Because there is that used to be the truth. But there is a present truth. The present truth is that you and I are justified. You know, when you get home, just dance a little. Say, I'm justified. Hallelujah. Yeah. Say, devil, you can't touch me now. I'm justified. Hallelujah. We have been redeemed from all iniquity. Bought out of it. Removed from it. In the same breath, Jesus took care of our sins. If anything does happen, Jesus paid for it. My nature has changed. I'm not who I used to be. I can never be who I used to be. It will never happen. You cannot get born again and get unborn again. It's not possible. You see, once you are awakened to the fatherhood of God, something happens to you. You cannot unknow what you have known. You can become fearful if you start living wrongly. You become afraid. It's going to happen. But your human spirit knows more. You know, if you see a backslider and the backslider is sitting down somewhere in one, nightclub, pretending to be who he's not, drinking with everybody, smoking with everybody, womanizing on whatever they are doing, they're doing with them. In his conscience, he knows, I'm not supposed to be here. Everybody's laughing, but your laughter is fake. Because you're in a strange land. When people say, once saved, always saved, that's what they're talking about. I wouldn't say that way. I would just say, once born again, you cannot undo it. Go with the flow. Go with who you are. We are no longer sinners. Let me give you a scripture for the fact that we've been redeemed from all iniquity and Jesus has purified us. God has purified us in Christ. You're pure now. Say, Pastor, I don't feel pure. Remember, it's not by your feelings. It's a spiritual fact. God caused those things that be not as though they were. His word quickens the dead. His word makes alive the dead. Hallelujah. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, let's back up a little. I just want to put this in there. Glory be to God. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men," the next verse, "teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world." We've been purified, made pure. Let's keep reading verse 14 now. "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Hallelujah. So he's taking care of business. We're different now. God has made us good people.